Women's Ministries is so blessed to be able to bring Barbara Bullock to our services today. She comes all the way from Chile by way of Texas because while on home assignment, her family is in Texas until next spring. Barbara has been working in economic and community development in southern Chile since 2001. She and her husband, Dwight, have coordinated a variety of initiatives in the communities where they serve, including 3 artisan cooperatives, health services, renovating and reopening a local rural health clinic, introducing rainwater collection. They have demonstrations in local schools, community centers, and private residences for that rainwater collection. They also do beekeeping and language recovery efforts. Barbara's main focus since 2005 has been the development of girls' clubs called Talita Kumi, which means rise up, little girl. This program focuses on strengthening the internal assets of girls living in poor, poor communities. Those clubs provide friendship, mentoring, spiritual formation, artisan training, community service opportunities. This program currently is serving more than 100 girls, ages 8 to 12, in some of Chile's poorest communities. Barbara is currently beginning work on an adaptation of this program so that it might serve other countries in Central and South America. And besides all of this, Barbara is mom to 2 sons. Please join me in welcoming Barbara to our service.
Thank you so much. Good morning. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you this evening. A small note, I got to spend last evening with your American Baptist women having dinner. And I have to tell you, they are a rowdy crowd. And if you don't hang out with them on Friday nights very often or Saturday nights very often, you are missing the party. So where it's really happening in Lebanon is at the American Baptist women's get together. And we had a wonderful time. And I feel so honored to be here with you. And another little piece of information that you may or may not know, I don't know, but the American Baptist Women of Indiana specifically is one of the foundation givers that support international ministries of the American Baptist churches. And I can go so far as to say that without the American Baptist Women of Indiana, international ministries would not have the missionaries on the field that they have today. I don't know often when I come to Indiana, I don't believe that you understand how significant the efforts are of American Baptist women, but specifically of the Indiana American Baptist women to the mission efforts of the American Baptist churches. But they really are changing the world. And if they call me up in Chile and say, Barbara, can you be here on September 23rd? I don't check my calendar. I just say yes and then see what needs to be rearranged because these are amazing women. And I really want to acknowledge and my appreciation and love for all that they and you have done together. So thank you. My husband Dwight and I have been missionaries in southern Chile since the year 2000. And today I am here more than anything to tell you thank you for your years of faithful support that this congregation has given to us specifically in our ministry. You have supported us financially. You have supported us with cards and with letters and with your prayers, and we have felt them every single day for the last almost 20 years now. Today, I'd like to focus on one aspect of our ministry that God planted in our hearts in 2005, actually in the kitchen of Dr. Lee Riggs and Lynn Riggs, the retired ministers from Greensburg. When we spent some time working with our women, our rural women in forming the cooperative groups, that are still functioning. But after we had worked with our women for a while, and as we came to know them more, we realized that many of our friends were being helped by our programs, their economic lives were improving, but that the reality was that many of their lives had been set in rhythm by choices that they had made in their adolescent years, and that if we truly wanted to impact the lives of our women that we worked with in Southern Chile, we needed to start working with them when they were 8 years old. So when I go around to talk about my work, I tell everyone that I work in economic development with women, with 8-year-old women, so that we can help them build the strengths of heart that they need to encounter the challenges that they face every day to their development and become the image of what God had for them in his heart when he created them. So I'd like to tell you about that program today, but before I do, I would like for us to look together at the passage that really inspired the Talita Kumi Girls Club program. And it's found in Mark 5, starting with verse 21. And if you don't mind, I love the story so much, I'll even just read it out loud to you. And then we'll take a look at it together. Mark 5:21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed him and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask us, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler. When they came to the home, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "What is all this commotion about? Why are you all wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they all laughed at him. And here we're going to pause for just a moment to talk about this moment in time. And I think it's so beautiful the way in the scriptures we have brought together two women that Jesus ministered to, an old woman and a young girl who were suffering shame and sickness, shame and illness. And first we talk about this old woman, the woman who had been taken advantage of by her community, a woman who was an outcast, was considered unclean, and who had the nerve to touch Jesus in the hopes of being healed. And back then, a woman who suffered an illness like this was meant to assume that there was sin somewhere in her life or something just innately wrong with her that she did not deserve to be healed. She did not deserve the life that everyone else had. And she was expected to live out her fate of shame and not buck the system. How many of us have gone through days or maybe years or times in our lives when we felt to ourselves, there is something wrong with me, and I do not deserve the abundant life that I dream of, that I've heard of, that I see others living. I do not deserve to be loved. I do not deserve to be healed. And what did this woman do? She took the chance to ask Jesus to heal her. And he did. But that was not enough for him. He was not willing to just heal her body. He wanted to heal her heart too. So he took this wealthy man, this man who had exhibited faith, and he said, you know what? You're really important to me, but you need to wait just a moment because there is someone else important here too. And when this woman came out, it said she was trembling in fear. And you know, she thought, oh, I have done it now. I took the risk of being healed. I wanted to be happy too. And now look what's going to happen. And ready, prepared for the teacher, the movie star, the rock star of the day, to humiliate her one more time in front of the community, the way she had been humiliated her whole life. She came and said, it was me. I tried to be healed. I wanted to be healed. I wanted to be like everyone else. And he looked at her and said, you belong to me. You are my daughter. You are not to be ashamed. You have great faith, and you are mine. He did not heal just her illness. He healed her heart, he healed her life, and he restored her standing in the community. And he told her that day, and everyone around her, the people who had taken advantage of her, the people who had rejected her, probably some of the people she had not been kind to, she is now a part of us. She is one of you now, because I say she is. And then he moved on to help the little girl waiting at Jairus' house. But what happened when he got there? Everyone said, it's too late. You took too long. You had to spend all your time restoring this woman who was an outcast, and now the little girl is dead. The story is over. All hope is gone. Why did you even bother coming? And they laughed at him. And that's a moment where we're going to pause in our story for just a minute, because I would like to share with you another little girl that the world had turned their back on, that the world had kind of lost hope in. And her name is Jerlien. Jerlien is a 12-year-old girl who is one of the Girls Club members in the small group that I have been mentoring since for the last 5 years. And our story really begins when our new executive minister, Sharon Coe, came down to Chile to make a video about our work. And one evening, Sharon decided that she was going to take us all out to dinner. And it was a warm night, so we decided we were going to walk. And we walked down in front of the mall close to our house. And as we were walking in front of the mall, and outside the mall, you have to understand, is where we have a lot of illicit business going on after dark in general in Temuco. That is where most of the illicit business takes place. And we're walking down in front of the mall to go to the restaurant, and I hear somebody calling out to me, Tia Barbara, Tia Barbara. And I turn around, and there is Gerlien, my 12-year-old girl from my girls' club, selling flowers on the street corner. And I ask her, Jillian, it's 9:30 at night. What are you doing out here on the other side of town from your house selling flowers on the street corner? And she says, it's Valentine's Day. It's a really great day to sell flowers, and I'm very good at it. So, of course, we all bought a flower from Jillian, and we moved on. And that day, I remembered, I realized, you know, Gerlien is going to be my special project. Because Gerlien is a strong and brave leader. She always has a smile, and she is always willing to take on the weight of her the weight of the world on her shoulders. She also suffers from ADHD. She struggles with math. She lives with 6 brothers and sisters. She helps her mother take care of her grandmother, who is suffering from Alzheimer's. And she makes breakfast for everyone after her mother leaves early in the morning to go sell vegetables in the market. Gerlien also tends to get into scrapes when she feels that someone has stepped on someone that she loves. And she has had some ups and downs at school. Honestly, I have to say that there is more than one aspect of Gerlien's story that reminds me of my own. And it reminds me of a very special mentor that I had when I was a girl. Her name was Carol Kimbrell, and it was the impact of her on my life that was the inspiration for the Talita Kumi Project. So Gerlien and I began to work after that night. We did extra math tutoring classes. We worked on some of her behavioral issues. And we had the single goal in mind that Gerlien would be invited to the special trip at the end of the school year for those who had expressed a special effort in overcoming their challenges. And we were making some significant progress when one day, the director of our school walked into our club meeting and said, someone in here needs to come speak to me. And she knows who it is. She knows who she is. And she has 5 minutes to be in my office. And all of the girls, except one, looked at me and kind of shrugged. And Gerlien looked down at her lap and began to sob. So Gerlien and I stepped out into the hallway, and between sobs, she explained to me that in a fit of anger with someone else, she had sent an inappropriate picture that she had found on the internet to a little boy in 4th grade. And Gerlien was in 6th grade at the time. And under Chilean law, that means that Gerlien was not only in trouble at school, but Gerlien was in trouble with the law. And I have to be honest with you. At that moment, I wanted to throw my hands up in frustration and say to her, Gerlien, how in the world could you throw away every single thing that we have been working for all year long? What are you thinking? I'm sure none of you have ever said to anyone, what are you thinking? But in that moment, I remembered a lot of things. I remembered Carol Kimbrell, who had been a mentor to me, who encouraged me in the darkest times. And I remembered the story of Talita Kumi. And I looked at Jolien and I asked her, "What is it you need from me right now, Jolien? What is it you need me to do?" And Jolien, between sobs again, looked at me and told me, "Solo con no me dejes sola. Please do not leave me alone. Don't walk away from me now." And that is where I want to pick up the story of Talitha Kumi. Because when Jesus walked in to that dark house, that darkest place in this whole world, where everyone said, "The story is over. Why did you come? The little girl is gone." Jesus looked at all of them and said to them, "Get out, because I will tell you when her story is over. Her story belongs to me. And her story will be over when I say it's over." And then he breathes life into this little girl. He tells her to get up, and he tells the people around her to feed her, to give her water, and to care for her. And I believe that this story has a significant impact, a meaning so deep for all of us today, because I believe that we can look around the city of Lebanon and we can say to ourselves, the story is over. The little girl, the little boy is dead. They are gone. All hope is lost. And I believe that Jesus is saying to us today, I will tell you when your story is over. I will tell you when their story is over, because their story belongs to me. And if you love me, you will love them, and you will feed them, and you will care for them. And many of us get up in the morning, and we look in the mirror, and we feel just like the woman who was afraid to hope to be healed. And we feel just like the parents of the little girl who was gone. And we say, my story is over. Jesus didn't show up. All hope is gone. And Jesus is saying to us today, your story belongs to me. And I will tell you when your story is over. So you rise up. And you know that you are loved. And that you are healed, and that I will care for you. That is the tie that binds us together. That is the love that extends throughout our community and extends through time from that day when he breathed life into that little girl into our lives today. So I am here today to thank you, because you have stood with us for 13 years. And because of you, I was able to be there with Jolien that day. And I have to tell you that Jolien's story was not over. Jolien pulled it together. And through the mentors in her school, through the pastor in her school, through the friendship in the girls' clubs, Jolien turned it around. And she got invited to that field trip at the end of the year. And by the end of the year, though Jolien had to pay the consequences for the decisions that she had made, she also accepted Jesus into her heart. And she knows him today, and he has called out the greatness that we have all seen in her. So thank you. Thank you for allowing me, for helping me to be there with Jolien. Thank you for the love that you extend into Lebanon every day, and God's richest blessings on you.